ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 18th chapter, texts 53 to 62. The verse on the board is 62, I believe. So, I will run through the previous verses first, and then we will chant verse 62. And take it from there. And it'll excuse me if I don't chant all the Sanskrit. Not that I don't know how to do it, but it'll take too much time. 53, translation, with flower garlands, sandalwood pulp, ornaments, and other paraphernalia, a woman following this vow should worship women who have sons and whose husbands are living. The pregnant wife should worship her husband and offer him prayers. She should meditate upon him, thinking that he is situated within the womb. Purport. The child in the womb is part of the husband's body. Therefore, the husband, through his representative, indirectly remains within the womb of his pregnant wife. Text 54. Kashyapa Muni continued, if you perform this ceremony called Pumsavan, adhering to the vows with faith for at least 1 year, you will give birth to a son destined to kill Indra. But if there is any discrepancy in the discharge of this vow, the son will be a friend of Indra, or to Indra. Text 55. O King Parikit, Diti, the wife of Kashyapa, agreed to undergo the purificatory process known as Pumsavan. Yes, she said, I shall do everything according to your instructions. With great jubilation, she became pregnant, having taken semen from Kashyapa, and faithfully began discharging the vow. Text 56. O King, who are respectful to everyone, Indra understood Diti's purpose, and thus he contrived to fulfill his own interests. Following the logic that self-preservation is the first law of nature, he wanted to break Diti's promise. Thus, he engaged himself in the service of Diti, his aunt, who was residing in an ashram. 57. Indra served his aunt daily by bringing flowers, fruits, roots, and wood for yagyas from the forest. He also bought kusha grass, leaves, sprouts, earth, and water exactly at the proper time. 58. O King Parikit, as the hunter of a deer becomes like a deer by covering his body with a deer skin and serving the deer, so Indra, although at heart the enemy of the sons of Diti, became outwardly friendly and served Diti in a faithful way. Indra's purpose was to cheat Diti as soon as he could find some fault in the way she discharged the vows of the ritualistic ceremony. However, he wanted to be undetected, and therefore he served her very carefully. 59. O master of the entire world, when Indra could find no fault, he thought, how will there be good fortune for me? Thus, he was full of deep anxiety. 60. having grown weak and thin because of strictly following the principles of the vow, Diti once unfortunately neglected to wash her mouth, hands, and feet after eating, and went to sleep during the evening twilight. 61. Finding this fault, Indra, who has all mystic powers, the yoga siddhis such as Anima and Lagima, entered Diti's womb while she was unconscious, being fast asleep. Chakarta Saptadha Garbham Vrajena Kanaka Prabham Rudantam Saptadha Eka Ekam Marudhi Iti Tan Punaha Chakarta Saptada Garbham Chakarta Saptada Garbham Vajena Kanaka Prabham Vajena Kanaka Prabham Rudantam Saptada Kai Kai Kam Rudantam Saptakai Kai Kam Maradi Iti Tan Punaha Maradi Iti Tan Punaha Chakarta Saptada Garbham Vajena Kannaka Prabham Rudantam Saptakai Kai Kam Marudi Iti Tan Punaha Kaikam Marudi Iti Tam Punaha Kanta Saptaka Kaikam Jaina Kaikam Tam Saptaka Kaikam Marudi Iti Tam Punaha Chakarta, he cut Saptada into seven pieces. Garvam, the embryo. Rajena, by his thunderbolt. Kanaka, of gold. Prabham, which had the appearance. Rudantam, crying. Saptada into seven pieces. Eka Ekam, each one, Ma Rodhi, do not cry, Iti, thus, Tan, them, Puna, again. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. After entering Diti's womb, Indra, with the help of his thunderbolt, cut into 7 pieces her embryo, which appeared like glowing gold. In seven places, 7 different living entities began crying. Indra told them, "Do not cry." And then he cut each of them into 7 pieces again. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that Indra, by his yogic power, first expanded the body of the one Marut into 7, and then he cut each of the 7 parts of the original body into pieces. There were 49. When each body was cut into 7, other living entities entered the new bodies, and thus they were like plants, which become separate entities when cut into various parts and planted on a hill. The first body was one, and when it was cut into many pieces, many other living entities entered the new bodies. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshushun Militam Jaina Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Jaina Bhuttale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Vandantikam Chakarta Saptaka Garbam Rajena Kanaka Prabham Rudantam Saptakai Kaikam Ma Rudi Iti Tam Puna. After entering Diti's womb, Indra, with the help of his thunderbolt, cut into 7 pieces her embryo, which appeared like glowing gold. In 7 places, 7 different living entities began crying. Indra told them, "Do not cry." And then he cut each of them into 7 pieces again. Indra was concerned by the vows of this lady, Diti. She was the mother, as you all know and have been hearing, of the Asura group. And since he had he was being defeated by them, and we know the stories, the Lord came and defeated them, destroyed them. She blamed Indra, and therefore she took this vow. She wanted the son who was going to destroy Indra. So naturally he was very concerned. She was his aunt, right? She was his auntie. And so he entered into that place, and he took the position of a service. He served her. The example is given previously of how when you're hunting deer, you cover yourself with a deer skin, and it fools the deers. And so in that way, he was serving very nicely, and watching and waiting. He was waiting for an opportunity to take advantage of any misstep that she made. And he got that opportunity, because she neglected to wash her mouth and feet, etc., after eating, took rest at the twilight. That gave an opportunity to enter. He entered with the mystic power, made himself very small, entered into her womb and started to cut it up with his thunderbolt weapon. First 7 pieces, and then another 7 pieces, as we've heard. We see, any of you who are gardeners, you'll know this, but even if you're not gardeners, it's a known thing. The champa tree, for instance, you break limbs off the champa, it's one tree, it's one entity. You break limbs off that tree and you plant them somewhere, and lo and behold, they become separate trees. Another living entity enters into that place, that branch, if you like, and it becomes another tree, another living entity there. And similarly with the roots, you break up the roots of some plants, you replant them, living entities come immediately, enter into those plants, and they become separate plants. And here the same thing happens. Immediately living entities enter into those pieces that were cut up by Indra. He wants to destroy that embryo, which was glowing, it says, like gold, very effulgent. But rather than destroying it, it ends up that there's 49 of them. From one marut becomes 49 maruts. Huh? So that's very wonderful. And how is that possible? She's the mother of the demons, but she took this vow, and Kashyapa was not, I don't think he was, could be said to be pleased by that vow, but anyway, she's his wife and she pleased him, so he had to make some allowance for her desire. So he said, okay, you follow this program that I'm giving you for 1 year, and then you'll get your desire. But what was that program that he gave her? It was a program of a sadhana, a program of service, devotional service. So by engaging in the devotional service of the Lord, she was, she's already a powerful lady, no question about that. Mother of the demon, a very powerful lady, but she was engaging in the service of the Lord by her vow, by the process which her husband gave her. And therefore, you see, the living entity in the womb was golden. She was very powerful. She became more powerful by her service, instead of this, one personality. Indra took advantage, cut it up, thought he was destroying it, but we got 49 maruts who became demigods, not demons, friends of Indra. That was the stipulation. That was the outcome because of her slight fault in not washing her mouth. Does everyone wash their mouth after eating and hands every time? Yes? Good on you. Good on you. I can't say I do. Can't say I do. So I don't find a lot of things to discuss here in this section of the Bhagavatam. But Oh, did I read the previous purport? Yeah, I did. There was actually a couple of purports in this section. We'll go back to the first one, where Prabhupada says, it's a simple point that Prabhupada, he just makes it in passing. It's a simple point the verse says that the wife should worship her husband and offer him prayers. She should meditate upon him, thinking that he is situated in the womb, in her womb. And Prabhupada makes the point that the entity in the womb is part of the husband's body, and therefore is his representative. And we see that the son is always the representative of the father. If the father doesn't want to, or doesn't, or is not able to do something, the son can fully represent him, because he's his representative. So that's just a small little point that Prabhupada gives. And then he talks about the siddhis a successful yogi is expert in the eight kinds of siddhis, in the eight kinds of perfections, and the anima siddhi, one can become smaller than a atom. And that Indra, he had all these siddhis, and so by that siddhi he was able to enter into a womb. It's all very, to us, it's all very esoteric, I suppose. I mean, you know, who even believes this stuff? Who believes it? That, you know, I could become as small as an atom or smaller than an atom and enter into someone's womb. Very strange. But it's there. We know it's there. It's from a previous age, and there are living entities, humans, who have these abilities. We're not. We don't have them, and we're not interested in them. At least, in general, I don't think devotees are interested in these kind of siddhis. The siddhis that we are interested in are, you know, to be able to execute our service in a nice way, to be able to focus. We want focus, you know. We want the focus that the yogis have. But what do we want that focus for? We want that focus for at our japa, our meditation. We want that focus for our sadhana. We want that focus for our service. We want to be able to focus very nicely on our service so that we do it nicely, whatever we do. So those kind of those aspects of yoga we want in order to help our devotional life, our bhakti yoga. We need focus and attention and those things. So yeah. Any questions, Mataji? Yes, please, give us your...
But maybe you speak on it, because it's interesting to me karmically how this... Because Diti was born of her desire, her service to her husband, was born of her envy, her you know, her... And so she pleased her husband, but her motive was ulterior. She didn't serve him with a pure motive. She served him with a material desire, and because he was a devotee, he managed to kind of turn it around. And then you have Indra, who's it's hard for me to understand that he's a devotee. I mean, I know he's a devotee, but sheesh, the guy, you know, if he was an ISKCON, he'd be gone a long time ago. And he also served with envy, with a material desire. So he did to her exactly what she did to Kasyapa.
Yes.
And I find that quite interesting, that karmically, you know, she, what goes around comes around, that she, that, you know, she got her, she didn't notice that he was doing the same thing to her that she did to her husband.
To her husband,
with
yes.
a similar motive.
But yeah, it is an interesting point, but it also brings out another point, and that, or the point that, you know, by service, by the motive of the service doesn't usually matter. Just like in the Gita, Krishna says, you know, there's different kinds of people that come to me. Four kinds of people. Artha, artha, jigyasi. So, and also we see Dhruva Maharaj. He undertook all this, you know, severe kind of penance and severe austerity. For what purpose? He wanted to sit, you know, on the throne. He wanted to. His motive wasn't pure. It was tainted. But by the mercy of his guru, he got the proper end.
And that's what happened to Diti.
What about Indra?
He's a playboy of the universe, you know. he's the playboy of the universe. He got his 49 mates, you know. he got that benefit. He'll come good in the end. He'll come good in the end. But he definitely has a lot of, even though he's one of the servants of the Lord, he definitely has lots of anarthas, like many of us do. Like many of us do. So we shouldn't be too hard on him. Otherwise, we have to look at in our own hearts. But you're right. I mean, he's a character. He's definitely a character. And he tries it on so many times, even with Krishna, we see in the Bhagavatam. And he gets away with it somehow or other, you know, because in the bottom line is he is a devotee of the Lord and he is serving the Lord. And probably in his mind he's thinking, well, I'm doing my service, you know. I'm doing my service and, you know, I don't know what he's thinking, but he gets away with it. But yes, any kind of reason that someone takes up service under the, you know, guidance of a devotee, it doesn't matter. They're poor and they see that though they come to ISKCON, they can get a place to stay, something to eat, and live nicely. It's okay. Let them come. As long as they follow the process that Prabhupada gave us, they'll become pure devotees. Or they want to come and get some wealth. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Because devotional service is so powerful. And not on its own, but with the mercy of the devotees. That's paramount. That's paramount, as far as I understand. It's the mercy of the devotees which is paramount. The service is very potent. It will help us, but it's actually the mercy of the devotees which is paramount, and that's what will purify us and bring us to the perfectional stage. And that's what she experienced, and that's what Dhruva Maharaj experienced, and we see many devotees in that same mold, that same line. All of us, we're definitely in that line, and hopefully we're becoming purified by the association, by each other's association, and by Prabhupada's mercy, previous acharyas. So never forget that, and that's why we have to be so careful. We're so blasé. Like Indra is so blasé about his thing, we're so blasé about the Association of Devotees, and we were very quick to nonsense. We're very quick to, you know, disparage devotees and but that's a dangerous game, actually, very dangerous game. We don't know what they're at, what's in their heart. We have no idea. It's our own blinkers, our own rose-colored glasses that we're seeing through, which, you know, make us see all these faults. And they probably mirror our own faults, and that's why we're so quick to pick them up, because they mirror our own faults. And we don't like it, but we take it out. We don't take responsibility, we take it out. And it's dangerous game to play. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Just a couple of comments, Prabhu. It seems that with Lord Indra, his main problem is that desire. He's always fearful of losing his powerful position. And all of the things he does with, you know, the pastime with Govardhan Hill, with Krishna and lifting Govardhan Hill, Indra was very, his pride was affected. With DT, he's very concerned that he's going to, you know, he'll be killed or lose his position. So it's kind of a good lesson for us too, that we should always be try and be conscious of that pratishtha, that pride. And in Manashiksha, it's described that out of all of the anattas, that pride or pratishtha is the last anatta to go, last anatta to be cleared, but it's the most dangerous, as no doubt you all know. And it's described that once all the anattas are gone, except this pratishtha, this desire for fame and glory and your pride, then this pride, this pratishtha is likened to a loose woman, and she's got her hair's out, and she's dancing because she's got lots of room in the heart. She's dancing around and around and around because she has plenty of room. And then what she starts to do, she then starts to call back in all of the other anattas. So you're back where you started from. So that pride is, you know, something we have to be very cautious of. And the other thing, I just wanted to make a comment. Prabhu, you mentioned how, it's difficult to believe some of the things that we hear in Bhagavatam. And I was recently watching a Prabhupada lecture on YouTube. And thank you for my poor internet, Kijai. And Prabhupada was in Melbourne, I think in 75. And one devotee said to Prabhupada, "Oh, Prabhupada, we read that the demigods, or Brahma, is carried on a swan carrier. Should we consider this as symbolic? Or was it actually a swan character, a carrier?" And Prabhupada just looked at him and said, "What do you know in your tiny, teeny, teeny experience? You know nothing. Of course, this is not symbolical. This has actually happened. Just that in your experience, you're very limited and you don't have any understanding." So I just wanted to share those with you. Hare Krishna.
Yes. Thank you. Hare Krishna. I'll take your question in a sec. I just have one from the online question. It's very simple question. Was Indra trying to kill the Marut in the womb, or was he purposely dividing the Marut into 49 pieces? From Rasik Sindhu Das. Well, he was trying to kill the Marut. That was his purpose. He wasn't trying to make 49 Maruts. He was trying to destroy that embryo. Prabhuji, I hope that's okay. Yes, over here.
Kashyapa gave Didi this performance, this sacrifice, so that she could, if she got it right, she would give birth to somebody who would kill Indra. But Indra found out that she made a few mistakes. So why did she want to she would give birth to somebody who would be his friend, a follower. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Why did he kill him? Why did he kill the person in the womb? I don't understand why he jumped in there with his thunderbolt.
Well, maybe that's what Rasika Sindhu Prabhu is alluding to, too. That you're trying to, or the implication is that actually he went in there to make friends with that embryo and maybe multiply that embryo.
I see.
Yes?
So we have 49 instead of one.
Yeah, 49 instead of one.
All right, he's thinking ahead.
That's the implication?
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't think that's I don't think that's right. It's a good question. Why did he, if he knew it was going to be a friend, why did he go and try and kill? But I think basically he was very afraid. He was in anxiety. The previous verse, not Prabhupada, but the Bhagavatam says that he was. He was completely in anxiety because how's there going to be good fortune for me? She's doing this thing and it's working. He couldn't find any fault. He was freaking out. He was. And then suddenly she was weak. She became weak and she made a fault. Immediately, without thinking, he dives in there and he starts cutting up the embryo. He wasn't trying to make friends. He was trying to destroy that embryo. He was freaked out. He dived in there. He got his chance. He got his opportunity. He dived in there, and he tried to kill that to destroy that embryo. When the bomb went into Uttara's womb, the Brahmastra. Same thing was being attempted. Krishna protected that embryo. And here, the embryo was protected by dint of her service and by the vow, by the breaking of the vow, right? Even if it was a friend, even if it was going to be a friend by her breaking the vow, still, he went in there with his thunderbolt. Should have been destroyed, right? I mean, friend or foe, if you start beating the person or the embryo around with the thunderbolt, it's going to be destroyed. But it wasn't destroyed. Split it into seven pieces, seven more living entities entered. Split it again, each of those, another bunch of entities entered, ended up with 49 entities. How is that possible? It's possible by the dint of her service. That's my understanding, Mandaji.
I think that it displays the fact that when you are absorbed in enmity and envy and anxiety, you don't think really.
Yeah, you become bewildered. Correct. He was freaking out. Bang, he went in. All right, it's 8:45. We're done. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. I always follow instructions.